بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل وتدلوا بها إلى الحكام لتأكلوا فريقا من أموال الناس بالإثم وأنتم تعلمون صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has warned us many, many places in the Quran Sharif that our wealth and our children should not cause us to divert from His remembrance. In other words, in trying to please the children or in trying to accumulate the wealth, a person should not forget that he is a Muslim. He is a believer in Allah Ta'ala. He is accountable on the Day of Judgment. And therefore, whatever he does, it must be pleasing to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It must be in accordance with the Qur'an and the Sunnah. He is not free to do whatever he wishes to as he pleases. The ayats that I just recited, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala addresses the believers. And the Ashiqana Tarjuma, or the translation of the beloveds of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, of Ya Ayyuhalladhina Amanu, is, O my beloved servants. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is addressing His beloved servants, those who have believed in Him, those who have brought Iman in Him, those who have acknowledged Him as the Rabb, not those who have denied His existence, those who have rejected His existence. Those who have recognized that He is the Rabb, He is the one who is cherishing, nourishing, sustaining. In the mother's womb, He is the one that nourished. And after birth also, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one who changed the blood to milk and provided sustenance. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the sustainer. So He who has sustained in such different forms from the time of conception, you think that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has suddenly lost His powers and His might, and His treasures have run empty, that a person races and chases haram, races towards haram or chases that which is haram. So in this verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala addresses the believers and says, لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Don't eat up one another's wealth. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala uses the word amwalakum, your own wealth. Amongst yourselves, Allah Ta'ala says, don't eat it up. Bil batil. Batil here means that in any manner which is not acceptable to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is not according to Sharia. Even if two people agreed that we will gamble, then to that money which this person has acquired, although it was with the pleasure of the other person, but it will be regarded as batil, it will be haram. In the same way, even if a person agreed that I will pay you a certain amount of interest on the money that you are going to loan to me, the person agreed, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala regards that as batil, that it is not permissible, it is not halal and jais for you to take that interest, it will be batil. It is eating up one another's wealth in a batil way. So whether it is by means of stealing, whether it is by means of interest, whether it is by means of gambling, or in any other way that the wealth comes, which is haram, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala declares that as batil wealth. And then in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no such thing as sequestration and liquidation. But look at the words of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks about the word, وَتُدْلُوا بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ, that you take your matters to the hukkam, to the judges, to the courts of law. Why? So that you may eat up again the same. By means of sin, you may eat up each other's wealth. That means the person is taking his matter to the courts of law because he has got some ruling or he has got some kind of a loophole or some way in which he can get the wealth of somebody else into his possession. Government may recognize that as legal, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala declares it as illegal and haram. So Allah Ta'ala says that this is also batil wealth. So as believers you should not do this, because this wealth that will come in this form, it is going to bring tremendous amount of problems. Repeatedly we have been mentioning this, because if you look at the ayats of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala brings these ayats immediately after the ayats of fasting in the month of Ramadan. Very soon we will be fasting inshallah in the month of Ramadan. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala discusses the ayats or in those verses fasting, and just after that this ayat about eating up the wealth of each other in a batil way, sinful manner. Whatever Allah has declared as haram, the person tries to acquire that. What is the reason for that? The reason for that is that this batil wealth, this wealth which has been acquired in a haram way, it is going to destroy even the noor of that roza that you are keeping. That roza that the person is keeping from dawn till sunset, he is not eating, he is not drinking, he is not committing anything that is prohibited. But the noor of that fast will be destroyed if the person hasn't got halal sustenance in his belly. Or the clothes which he is wearing is of haram earnings. Or that beautiful car in which he is traveling is of haram earnings. Or that beautiful home in which he is residing is of haram earnings. So then that noor of that ibadat will also be totally lost and destroyed. That person is making namaz upon namaz in the month of Ramadan, he is making taraweeh, he is making zikr, he is making tilawat, he is doing talim, and he is doing all kinds of dini work. But because of that acquisition in a haram manner, the noor of all those ibadat will be totally destroyed and lost. So therefore Allah Ta'ala immediately after the verses of the fast, Allah Ta'ala brings this verse, that don't eat each other's wealth in a haram way, in a batil way. And in another ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, there he says, إِلَّا أَن تَرَادِ, that unless it is like a tijara between you, that you have entered into a transaction which is legal, which is halal, which is permissible, and that wealth has come to you, then it is okay. And immediately after that Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, and do not commit murder, not some of you murder and kill others. Now there too, what is the link between this wealth and murder straight away after the wealth, which is coming in a batil way? Allah Ta'ala is talking about murder. That if you look at the murders and the killings and the hijackings and all the kinds of crime in this world, most of it is related to wealth. It is because of wealth. The government's eye is on the wealth of the subjects, of the people. The parents' eye is on the wealth of the children. The children's eye is on the wealth of the parents. The neighbor's eye is on the wealth of the neighbors. Everybody has got his eye. The friend's eye is on the wealth of the friends. That I haven't got it, he has got so much. The neighbor says, I haven't got it, he has got so much. So whether it is hasad and jealousy, or whether it is this desire that a person be destroyed or his wealth be destroyed, all these evil desires, or whether it's murders and killings and hijackings, all these mafia killings, what is it for? It is for no other purpose but for wealth. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is warning us considerably in the Quran Sharif, many, many places, that don't let this noor of your ibadat be destroyed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the hadith is giving us the same message, that this little noor that you are getting into your hearts of ibadat, of zikr, of tilawat, of namaz, of roza, of charities, then don't let that be destroyed by batil wealth entering your system. This batil wealth, when it is going to come, it is going to destroy that noor. Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, in one of the hadiths, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that the best earning is the earning of those traders. So we can see that we are not prohibited earn. It has been mentioned that if their sustenance has to be divided into 10 parts, then 9 parts of sustenance is in business. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept so many avenues open, halal avenues. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the best earning, atyabul kasb, the best earning is the earning of those traders who do not speak lies when they speak. That means when they are trading, they don't speak lies. And when they make promises, they do not break those promises. When they are dealing with each other, they are making promises. I will pay you at a certain time, or whatever promises they are making. So they do not break those promises. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when an amanat or a trust is kept with the trader, then those traders do not betray that trust. or even if a trust is placed in them, they do not betray it. This is exactly what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in another hadith, in which he said, Ayatul munafiq salas, the signs of a munafiq are three, which you have heard so many times. Iza haddasa kazaba wa iza wa'ada akhlaf wa iza utumina khan. That when the person speaks, he speaks lies. When he makes promises, he breaks the promises. And when he is entrusted, he betrays the trust. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the best earning is the earning of that trader or those traders who, when they are dealing, when they are transacting, then they do not speak lies. When they make promises, they do not break those promises. And when they are entrusted with some amanat, then they do not betray the trust. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when they sell, when they are selling to somebody, then at that time they do not unduly praise that item which they are selling. They do not overpraise those items which they are selling. They must not become like that person who knew very well that his horse was useless, absolutely useless. So he gave it to an auctioneer to sell it. The auctioneer, in his flowery language, the way he praised that horse, that the owner of the horse, he said that if this horse is so good, why should I not buy it and take it home again? So he took it back home. So when the person is praising his own goods, he must not praise it more than it requires and deserves. And when he is purchasing from the other person, he must not condemn it more than it is necessary. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's guidance and direction in every aspect of our lives. That you saw it, you bought it, so now don't unnecessarily go on condemning that person's items. Yes, if there is some fault and defect, then bring it to his attention. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in this same hadith, he has warned of the consequences of haram earnings. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the Quran Sharif have warned us that the noor of ibadat and taqwa will all be lost if the person is going to get haram earnings. And this is the scourge of our society at present. We do not say that a person will not fall into difficulties. Because of the harsh economic climate, a person can fall into difficulties. But to make use of the courts of law just to gain wealth which is not legal for him, he is finding all the loopholes and then making pensioners cry and making so many other small business people cry, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not bless this kind of wealth. The person may enjoy a few days of good food, good clothing, good shelter and good luxurious modes of transport, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he will make that person's life restless, uneasy, unhappy. In the family, in the children, or somewhere along the line, the person will have endless problems. And he will not be able to come out of that. And then someday, in the generations to follow, all that will also be wiped out. Because it is Allah ta'ala that we are dealing with. We are not dealing with the governments of the world. So therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in this verse also, he's saying that do not take it to the courts of law to take away the wealth of somebody else. What we should do, as I've repeatedly mentioned in my talks, that if a person is in financial difficulties, then we have so many things which are surplus. And even if it means we have to sell our own home and live in a flat, if it means that we have to tie stone on our bellies, if it means that we have to eat chutney roti, if we have to eat dry bread, soaked in water, sugar water, then we should be satisfied with that. But just to show the people that we are maintaining a certain standard of life, to take people for a ride, there is no justification of that in any Sharia. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, according to one hadith, the person's du'as for 40 days is not accepted when just one dirham of haram goes into his system. One dirham of haram earning going into the person's system. Imagine those who are just taking thousands and thousands and thousands of rands. How can that person get noor of taqwa in his heart? Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayh, he has mentioned that if a person had to steal, I'm giving you the meaning of that incident that he has mentioned. He said that if a person has to steal wheat or barley and make bread out of that and eat, he says, then that stolen stuff, and here by the word stolen I mean any way that you can get haram. So here this person who is eating that bread which is made out of the dough, of that barley which is stolen, or that wheat which is stolen from somebody's farm, then he says that even if Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam planted the seeds, if Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam planted those seeds, and if an ox from heaven came down to plow that land, and if Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam watered those crops, and if after it grew, Hazrat Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, she was the one that crushed that wheat between the stones of the Kaaba Sharif. She crushed the wheat between the stones of the Kaaba Sharif. And then she is the one that kneaded the dough, and she prepared the bread. Then too, the effect of that bread in the stomach of this person who has eaten it, even though he has to read thousands of times Ayatul Kursi and Surah Fatiha and other duas and Durud Sharif while he is eating, then to the effect of that bread in his system is that it is going to create plenty, plentiful of evil thoughts, malice, greed, envy, jealousy, pride, all kinds of harmful qualities that will be the effect of this bread that has gone into his system. Just imagine, he says that this is going to be the effect. Now today if we are complaining of people not behaving, bad character, so this is the effect. We all acknowledge that some food, they increase the sugar level of the person. Some foods increase the fat. Some foods provide carbohydrates, some provide protein, some provide something else. So if we accept that foods have all these different qualities, physical qualities, then why don't we accept that that same food also has spiritual qualities? That halal earning, even if it is a little, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give in his system that nur of taqwa, which will then make him interested in ibadat, in zikr, in tilawat, in, he will enjoy whatever zikr he is making, what ibadat he is making, what namaz he is reading. And there will be so much of peace and happiness and sukoon in his heart. The time is too limited to go into details. One person, one wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says that I was invited by a policeman who was a friend of mine to come and have meals with him. I repeatedly told him that, look, you are a police and many times you take bribes and my system does not accept that kind of food. So he said, no, Hazrat, I will make sure that I will buy everything with absolute halal money. So much so that every ingredient that I will put into that food will be with halal money. I will borrow the money, which will be 100% halal, and I will prepare all the things. Every ingredient will be halal. But you accept my invitation. So reluctantly he accepted the invitation. He says, after he accepted the invitation and he ate at his place, he says, when the food went into his stomach, it seemed as if puppies were barking in his stomach. We do not know what the Ahlullah have got in their hearts. They got detectors. We have got dogs which can detect so many things. They can detect the criminal. These people's stomachs, they detect. So he says that this sound, I realized that this food was not halal. And I felt like spewing. Until finally, of course, he spewed it out. So this policeman said that, but Hazrat, I can assure you, I guarantee you that everything that was put in there was halal. So he said, no, you check. So when he checked, the wife said, by mistake, the salt that went into that curry was of the earnings that came through bribery and other corruption. Brothers, this is the effect. He says the whole noor of taqwa goes away. So we should be careful that we should not make use of any loopholes that we have, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to decide on the day of judgment. Since I have a few minutes left, we can go on speaking on this subject. But I want to bring to your attention that what harm it causes to not only the individual, but even to the deen of Islam. I will not mention any names, but this is a letter written by a 62 or 63-year-old white lady to one of her Muslim clients. I, so-and-so, the proprietor of such-and-such a company, appeal to you to rectify the wrong you have done to me. 30 years of my life was spent as an employee at a certain company, and at the end of my service I invested my pension into my present company to create a means of employment for my family and others. Despite the harsh economic climate, we have worked extremely hard to make an honest living. Nevertheless, your dishonest business deal has proved to be catastrophic and my company cannot possibly survive. As a Christian, I have to forgive you for your sinful nature, but I know without any doubt that God has said that what you sow, so shall you reap. Whatever you do unto others, so too shall it be done unto you. It is not a threat of mine, but God's promise. My faith does not permit me to do such a thing to anyone. You have said that you are a Muslim. Does Allah permit you to do what you have done? Do you have a conscience? I am so happy to serve a wonderful and loving God who would discipline me severely if ever I committed such a crime. My God commands me to love my neighbor as myself. Does Allah not command you to do the same? And then mentioning the person's name, she says, you know the only way to regain favor with your Allah is to pay your debt to an old lady, 62 years old, trying to earn a halal living. You say you are a Muslim. Now prove it. Actions speak louder than words. Do what any man who really is a man would do. Make it right not only with me, but also with Muhammad and your Allah, as I have made peace with my God in forgiveness to you. Brothers, this is just one letter. Are we not becoming obstacles in the path of people entering into the fold of Islam? Are we not chasing people away from Islam? Where are those actions? Just words, words and words, speeches, speeches and speeches. So much of charities, so much of namazes, so much of masjids are being built, so much of umrahs and hajj. But where is that taqwa, where is that God fear, where is that God consciousness? That a Christian has to now tell us that where is your, what does your God teach you? What does your Muhammad teach you, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Whereas we should have been the ones going out to them and saying that Islam is the deen which teaches you honesty, truthfulness, sincerity, charity, good character, good morals, etc., etc. Brothers, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and give the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam the tawfiq to enter into the fold of Islam completely. Just a little entry into the fold of Islam is causing more damage to Islam than anything else. Because the people are looking at our actions. They don't want to come and see our namaz in the masjid. They don't want to see how much of tawafs of the Kaaba Sharif we make. They want to see what kind of dealings we have with them. Now if this is a dealing with a Christian, then what kind of dealing we will be having with our Muslim brothers? May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make sincere tawbah from all our sins and become His and ask Him to become ours. Repent, make istighfar, make tawbah, and never mind, even if you have to be called all kinds of names, and people say that at one time this person was multi-rich and today he's walking on the streets like a poor person. There is no harm in that. That's more respectful in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and He is the one who will again give this person plenty of wealth. But don't in any way take something that is not legally due to you, whether it is in the form of illegal inheritance or stealing or cheating or fraud or anything. Make sincere tawbah and return, repay, fulfill the debts and obligations, and see how Allah Ta'ala then gives barakat and also peace in the heart. It is haram for such people to even extend invitations of weddings and walimas if they have taken the monies of all other people. How can that person extend an invitation of walima and nikah to thousands of people when the money that he is going to be providing the food with is of all those poor people who had invested in that company? وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين